You guys, can you put that in between you two?
Yeah, if it's gonna fall off there, then the table's fine. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just that it might. You all right to crack on?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Welcome to the Silly Life Podcast, everybody. I am here with Richard and Kathy Pitt this morning, which is such a treat. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
So this is your second time on the City Life Podcast.
Yes.
And I was trying to think, last time we talked about a compassionate community and we talked a bit about your mum and we talked a bit about the farm. I just wondered, before we kick off on our topic of prayer, which we're going to be talking about soon, I wondered if you guys wanted to give any updates or talk about, like recap on what we talked about last time and maybe where God's brought you since then, because it must have been like 4 months ago or something like that. It was quite a while ago. And I know since then you've obviously had your big community meal. I don't know if you wanted to sort of chat about that or yeah, anything you wanted to sort of say to catch us up with where you're at.
Well, I'd like to say, yeah, we did have a really lovely community meal.
Yeah.
With people from City Life and from the farm community.
Yeah.
Just invited. We didn't know who was coming, and there were four different people who were not from the church, and they really all were greatly blessed to be there.
Good.
Which is great. And I've got a little testimony really about compassionate community that God is building on the farm out of the people who come and volunteer and are staff there. And we've been open all day over the summer, for our summer opening hours 10 till 6. And we had a family, a husband and wife come.
Pause. Sorry, I'm going to
shut those doors because otherwise we'll
just get dogs barking on the recording, Abby. Do you remember the first recording we did and Abby walked through the room?
Yeah.
I got so angry and what was that massive noise coming?
Clunk, clunk,
clunk.
Banging,
clunk, clunk, clunk. Like, oh,
shabby.
Yeah. I've learned a bit since then.
Oh.
It's a shame to have sort of the fresh air coming in, but... sorry, yeah. Carry on from where you're at.
So we had some people come to the farm for the first time and were really, it was their day off, and they were really pleased, husband and wife, to have a coffee on the farm and enjoy the atmosphere there. And they were, one of the lead grower on the farm, a chap called Steve, he gave them a guided tour, and they were so inspired because they've got a very big garden at their mum's house that they're using and they want to grow stuff. The following week, their father-in-law died suddenly, and he died in the night. And in the morning, it's like, what are we going to do today? And they all came to the farm.
The whole family.
So the mother, whose husband had just died, the grandchildren, the man and his wife, and they all kind of found a place on the farm to process and be at peace. And they were there nearly all day long.
Wow.
And what was amazing about it was the welcome they'd had the week before from Liz, who runs the shop, and Steve, who showed them around. And then there was the day they came, there was also another member of staff who's really good at helping people sort of find out what they're feeling. So it was compassionate community expressed in those people who are not all following Jesus yet, but are just carrying that value.
Amazing.
And those, which I think is City Life being expressed on the farm.
Beautiful.
That's
really nice. Kathy, anything on that?
Well, I spoke about my mother caring for her. That was probably the most Christ-like thing I've ever done, to kind of almost give up and pause my life for a while to concentrate solely on one other person, which I think is one of the highest callings and something I've learnt deeply about Christ's compassion for the one, and servant-heartedness. So I'm grateful for that time, and I would have carried on if my mother hadn't decided very quickly that it was time for her to go into a nursing home and just get rest and just be cared for all the time. And it was getting quite tricky in the house with the mobility and tight corners and everything. So I understood that completely. And I think I spoke about healing as well, and prayers for healing, and how compassion and healing for me go quite closely together. And I just, I have been very sort of tentatively offering prayer to people since then as well. And it's just been quite interesting how that's been received. Yeah, it's a great opportunity, I find, to pray for people for healing. And I love it when it happens.
That's good, that's good. Do you find that as you do it more and more, your courage gets more and more?
Well,
because that's the thing, isn't it?
It takes a lot of courage, and I do struggle with that. And I guess I still struggle with that, really.
Mm.
So it hasn't really got any easier, but partly because the people that I sometimes offer to pray for don't really want prayer, so it kind of puts you off a bit.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of really summon up, but it's just a case of knowing that that's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, and do it.
I do think, though, when you do something that makes you a bit vulnerable like that, or that takes a bit of courage, it's like every time you have to jump over a bit of the hurdle of oh my goodness, I can't believe I have to, you know, that God's asking me to do this in this moment, or you know, the cost of obedience is not nothing, is it?
No.
Oh, well, bless you. I mean, it's so good to hear about. Mm. I mean, even if people don't accept prayer, the fact that you're offering prayer is great. I mean, I think just be encouraged and keep going. Mm. So today we're going to talk about, a bit about prayer. I mean, it did feel like to me that you guys are slightly the obvious people to talk to about prayer because... Well, you've journeyed. You've just had this big journey with prayer and with SOHOP and Southampton House of Prayer and 24/7. So I wonder if you guys could just start us off by giving us a bit of a overview of that. You know, what does it look like in terms of your connections and your journey and how that's sort of evolving? Yeah.
I've always loved prayer from when I became a Christian when I was 14. Before that, I was praying to an unknown God, if you like. And then, you know, became a Christian and everything, following Jesus, it all sort of made sense. So it's always been very important, I guess, to me to pray and spend time with God. It's like life and breathing, and it's a habit that I've just developed over the years of giving that special time, and it for me it works pretty much in the mornings to God and just spending time with him. Since getting more involved with the 24/7 stuff, which probably was about 5 or 6 years ago when we hooked up with 24/7 through reading Dirty Glory by Pete Gregg, a book that was going around. That kind of reawakened a few things that the importance of prayer and prayer on a regular sort of rhythm in life and making that a priority, because from that place everything else kind of happens. And I guess reading it made me feel actually what I'm doing every day, or actually when I had little children it was really hard to pray every day, but what I'm doing regularly in my life is actually making a huge difference and counting for so much. And the book just expanded all that and went into testimonies of prayer and mission and prayer and answers, and it was so exciting, unbelievably exciting, really. And it just lit a fire in me to reignite my prayer life, our prayer life. And then, unbeknown to me, Richard was receiving this calling from God to reignite prayer in the city on a sort of 24-hour basis, which I hadn't heard from God, but kind of was happy to go along with Rich. So from reading that book, Rich has got a testimony which he'll probably share. after sort of hooking up with Roger Ellis, who runs 24/7 at that time in local communities, we decided to try and go for a 24/7 prayer room in Southampton. So we just went on this process where we invited other people to come along, and it took a year, and then we set up our first prayer room in the sacred space at City Life 4 or 5 years ago, I think. And then when lockdown happened and we couldn't meet anymore, it went into small clusters, and we were praying all over the city in little groups online, coming together online as well. And then coming out of lockdown and resuming or resetting things, people in the community had kind of gone their own way, so we were just quite small. I took out a sabbatical because I was looking after mum and couldn't really lead house to prayer at the same time. But the small community were realising that we needed to meet together again, have meals together, come back as a community together. Mm. And so that's happened a couple of weeks ago. And last night we had our second time together. And it's just quite exciting because we feel it's all kind of starting up again, that momentum in the city to pray. And since we started the House of Prayer, the churches in the city have more and more and more set aside a room in their buildings or whatever to pray, just for prayer. And the leaders as well are coming together more to pray. And we are just Rich is just carrying this, let's put prayer in the centre of everything. We're beginning to think it isn't just prayer, it's prayer and mission. The two go together. You can't have prayer without mission. You can't have mission without prayer. And we're just kind of wrestling with that at the moment. Mm. I hope that's too
great.
Much information.
No, that's really great. It's really interesting to talk about mission and prayer. It sounds really obvious. Well, obviously you can't have mission without prayer, but actually I've never really thought about that before. For me, I always think about prayer as being integral with worship. And maybe that's because that's just what my heart beats for, but I'd love to hear more about that if you have more stuff to say about that.
Yeah,
I think I've said enough.
Well, you know, you talked about our journey with prayer, really, and I think the starting point is always intimacy with God. Because praying, you know, prayer is this word that has so much connotation. Bev, you know, really dealt with that beautifully in her talk, and how if you invite people to a prayer meeting, you know, there's just so much negative stuff attached to that. And that's why the journey's been good, because it was my relationship with God. You know, it's not praying, it's just my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also I like this little phrase, you know, it's the impulse of the church is to pray, you know. And I like saying the impulse, because it's like the not the you know not what you have you do it because you have to, but it's like it's what we do. And I'm going to have to read a bit from Acts chapter 1 verse 14, because this is where Jesus has just gone up to heaven and they all go back into Jerusalem. And it gives them the list of the disciples who were there, and it says they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. And that's like the first thing they did. It's their impulse was to be together and to be constantly united in prayer. And I only read that recently, and it's, for me, it just sums it up. This is what we do, because we together are God's children, and we're listening to him, and that's our main thing, you know. But then around all of that, you've got the fact that Jesus also said to them, his command was to wait for the Holy Spirit to come before they started on their mission. And I think that's the other place I'm at with prayer, is that it's it's we're waiting for the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and as we pray, you know, it's the conduit, it's the relationship, it's the listening and receiving.
Mm.
And you know, I've the other thing I was thinking about is I just in my own prayers I say less and less these days, and I just sit still.
Mm.
And you know, in my soul's going, we're not getting anything done. We're not getting anything done here. Don't even know what God's saying or doing. We're just being quiet.
Mm.
But it's become important and foundational.
Yeah.
And it's like in a good relationship, like Kathy and I, when we go somewhere in the car, very often we don't say a thing for half an hour. But we are together and we're appreciating one another, and you know, there's the sort of the mystery of it, and like your soul does get a little bit tangled up with we should be praying for everybody and all of that.
Yeah.
But that comes from a healthy place of God capturing your heart.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the subtitle to Dirty Glory, it's go where your best prayers take you. And I'm so grateful for 24/7 because they've really helped me understand that the church is firstly it's prayer, and secondly it's going, and you can't have one without the other. You know, that is our main. You know, I love it now because I understand church in a way.
Yeah.
You know, we are there to pray together,
yeah.
and to go out together, and that's all you see in Acts.
Mm.
They gather together and went out. And the Holy Spirit moved them out, that the impulse of the church is to go. And we've got the language that, because I've been doing a little training 24/7, apostolic means sent.
Mm.
And over the years, churches have, we've lost the apostolic thing. And so we've had mission organisations that do the sending.
Mm.
But now we've got, you know, we've got this renewed understanding that churches themselves, our very essence, we are apostolic. We are, the Holy Spirit is sending us out, moving us out. But also we're monastic, you know, we are places of prayer, we are communities of prayer, and out of our prayer life God speaks and leads and guides and moves.
Mm.
So that's where I'm up to with prayer, as I might say.
Just to add to the intimacy, so quite often my mind wanders when I'm praying. But I read about Mother Teresa whose mind wandered a lot when she was praying, and she said she eventually realised that it was, in a way, it didn't matter because she was with God. She'd set that side, time aside. So that was just something that I thought might be helpful to people.
Yeah, it makes me think of it. It's actually a Mother Teresa. It's not a quote, but it was an interview that was done with her. And someone said, well, how much do you pray? And she says, well, I pray all the time. And the interviewer says, well, what do you say? How do you pray all the time? And she says, I don't really say anything.
Mm.
And then the interviewer says, well, what does God say? And she says, mostly he doesn't really say anything. It's literally the time spent in each other's presence that is the valuable thing. And obviously for Mother Teresa, you know, we see a life full of fruit.
Yeah.
That, you know, even out of what was maybe a wordless conversation, actually then comes her being sent and this life of fruit, which is incredible.
Yeah.
There was something else that reminded me of as well. I can't remember what that is. So if that comes to me, I'll say that
too. I'm reading a very old book, which was written a long time ago by somebody.
Andrew Murray?
Yes, Andrew Murray. And it's about intercession, which is a scary word. But I was just feeling kind of pushed a little bit by God to intercede, whatever that means. It means coming between situations and offering them up to God, I think. So I picked this book up, and it's just quite helpful to me because it is quite practical. So he talks about getting on your knees, and my knees are quite old and cranky now, so getting on my knees is quite uncomfortable, actually. But you don't have to literally get on your knees, although I do sometimes. It's just the posture of, in your heart, of getting down and being like down before God, and just offering up things that come into my heart. And it makes me go inside, and it makes me kind of yearn, you know, for some things to happen. And then from that place I can pray about things that are little and things that are big. And I try to do that every day. I don't always do it, but and I'm just starting little, and I'm praying for God to increase that time. But at the moment I only do it for about 5 or 10 minutes. So yeah.
I think that's great. I mean, I am that person that finds the word intercession quite big and scary, and oh, I need to be much more spiritual than I am to be an intercessor. But inspiring, I think, to think that actually maybe we all have it in us, and it's just about that heart posture and that almost heartbreaking for a thing or a situation or a need.
It reminds me of when we have WhatsApp groups for a particular situation. That's so helpful because we're praying together then. And something that's greatly influenced my prayer life is the 6 o'clock City Life.
Yeah.
With your dear Andy and the others who are on that. That, because then you're praying for situations with other people. And I just find it brings it to my mind a bit more, and it just, you know, just that, it's only 15 minutes a day, but it just brings that more in. Because I've always struggled with wanting to pray for more people and more situations than actually doing it. And then the other thing about that is when we have the sacred space and you could book some time and go, it kind of cleared distractions out of the way and that setting aside. Because I think the thing about prayer is you just got to make time for it in a way that is comfortable or works for you. Like if you want to be with someone you want to be with, you arrange to go somewhere nice together, or you go for a walk together. And that's the other thing about praying, is to understand your own preferences.
Yeah,
it changed a lot for me when someone said that you can just go for a walk and talk to God. And I've probably mentioned before, but you know, that's some that really, really, I had a whole season of walking quite a lot, and it just worked for me because it stopped me being distracted by other things, and I could just chat, just sometimes quiet, but I would pray a lot more as I'm walking.
That's so good. What do you, what are your thoughts around praying in the church and as in the city? Because we talked about this, you mentioned it earlier about your vision about Southampton and prayer in Southampton, and particularly in terms of like church unity, what have you seen and what are your thoughts around what it brings? Because Jim and Ruth, who were on the podcast last week, talked about this idea of church unity, and I just wondered if you had a perspective or if you've seen any exciting sort of first fruits of what that looks like.
I mean, we, during the lockdown, there was the Southampton Christian Network organised a monthly city prayer meeting, which somehow we came out of lockdown with House of Prayer organising it, and felt, well, it's just good. We've been going around different churches and inviting churches to host it. You know, last month we were at St Albans, and it was just so beautiful because you get a flavour of that community and what they're praying about and how they pray, and you bring, you know, people from different churches. There's only about 30 people come to that from across the whole city, but could be to do with the timing and things like that. But I do see a growing number of people who just want to pray and recognise that we're all the body of Christ together. And that once a month city thing, people go away into their own context with a greater sense of we are all praying. And as Kathy mentioned, the House of Prayer, you know, we're sort of rebooted and we're meeting again weekly. And you know, sort of fresh news on that, it just seems God is really saying it is time to gather people to pray. There's some people who particularly have a calling to pray. You know, we were looking at Isaiah 62, where it says, God says, I have posted watchmen on the walls. So it's like there's people who definitely have got a you know, like a watchman.
That's what I felt for Kathy. I remember every time I sort of had thought of you in my prayers, that's what God shows me. So, oh, Kathy's like the watchman on the wall.
Oh, wow.
Just like, yeah.
And so we're quite excited that God is doing that, not us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not us trying to have a unity prayer meeting, but God is saying he wants to gather the watchmen.
Mm.
You know, and it's a different kind of prayer, isn't it? I think it's different to your daily relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, there's prayers of many faceted thing.
Mm.
But yeah, I just think we're on the cusp of some Holy Spirit acceleration of that gathering. I actually had a contact, Kathy's in Heaven in Healthcare, and someone on that knows someone who's moved to Southampton, and he sent me a message saying he'd had a vision looking down on the city to pray, and God really told him to come to Southampton. And so he thought, where can I live that's like that? And he's gone into one of these flats somewhere, and the last one available at the top, we looked out the window, it's exactly the same as the vision God gave him.
That's
so God is bringing people
to
pray and be watchmen, you know. And so, yeah, Holy Spirit is moving. We just got
so
to
great. Quietly
follow, be in tune,
and
do, play our part.
Okay, off the back of that then, for people in churches, for people in city life, and also to a certain extent, like people like me, I want to pray more. I want to give more time to Jesus in prayer. What advice do you have? Because I think there's so much distraction and a lot of life that tries to get in the way of talking with God.
Yeah.
What advice would you have, or what wisdom or nuggets or thoughts or anything would you have to sort of encourage or address that?
I think God is very, very kind, and he understands people and their lives. Because, like I said, when I had little ones, I couldn't always pray every day.
Mm.
I do understand. And he understands. And I think to want to pray is the first step. Mm. And he hears that. And he will just ask him, I want to pray, but I find it really hard. Please help me, God. He will help you. Start small, you know, even if it's just a couple of minutes.
Mm.
Just to offer a little bit of time to him at any time that suits. And do it the way you want to do it. So worship or draw or write or whatever. Just, that's my advice, I think.
Mm. That's good, thank you.
Mm. Yeah, I think rhythm helps. So look at your week and see, where can I be still without being distracted and trying to rush on to something else? And then no one else but you can prioritise that time.
Mm-hmm.
And and if you can come to that time with a tiny bit of faith that God wants to speak to you, that God wants this time more than you want it, then if you just regularly show up with an experimental attitude, like Kathy was saying, drawing, writing, being still, whatever, experiment, you know, and just allow yourself to be yourself.
Yeah.
Forget what, you know, all that duty stuff about prayer that creeps in. And, you know, like, I mean, there was a verse that really stuck out to me in the Bible where God says, come to me with your ears wide open, listen to me, and your soul will live.
Mm.
It's like he was saying to me, shh, you know, I'm speaking, you know, and to realise it's two-way, to realise it's God wanting to speak to us, then I think that really, really helped me. But we used to talk about spiritual disciplines, which makes it sound like you've got to be muscle-bound.
It's a crack the whip type thing.
Whereas I love the 24/7 language of spiritual rhythms and spiritual practices, you know, like, if you want to get better at your musical instrument, you practice it.
Mm.
And you practice it because you do, you know, it is a bit hard to practice sometimes, but the joy's there. And so just changing the language helps as well. It changes the expectation.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really helpful.
I would also add, you know, going back to that, the 6 o'clock prayer, it's when you can pray with others as well. If you can involve others in your routine in some way.
Yeah.
Even if you just with a group of friends, you say, let's all pray more, and just share what you're doing.
Yeah.
And just encourage one another on that as well. You know, it's going back to that Acts thing about the church prays together. Even though you might be on your own, but there's a sense of togetherness because you're sharing your journey with other people.
Yeah. I do think as well there's a thing about, and I've heard about people doing this, is in their workplaces, when appropriate, like gathering to pray. So say you're in a school and there's a few Christian teachers, like gathering to pray when you have a second, or even if it's just 2 minutes, that can be a really helpful thing to sort of, gathering with people who are in similar situations, like we've all got really young kids, it's going to be really hard, why don't we just have coffee and just take some time to pray, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That could be really, really helpful.
And something that's really helped me in the last year is the Northumbria Book of Prayer, or the Celtic Daily Prayer, which is just having some words for the morning, for the midday and for the evening, that when you don't know what to pray, it's like I'm turning up God and I'm saying these things. And those words are just so lovely because they're all about just being in God's presence and listening to Him.
Mm.
And the midday one is very practical because you can do it in about a minute.
Yeah.
You know, but I find some of the words are becoming familiar and it's almost like they are a spiritual structure somehow.
Mm.
There's just, you know, I always used to think liturgy was dead. That was my experience of it.
Yeah.
But now I'm choosing certain prayers to pray.
Mm.
They are becoming alive, and they it's like they're touching from one day to the next and just bringing me into this place with God. So that's something that's been helpful for me. And particularly the end of the day, the bedtime prayers have really helped me just switch off at the end of the day and just read them. I just don't even pray them, I just read them, and they're lovely words and they help me switch off at the end of the day.
Well, we listen to, well, not every night, but often we listen to the nighttime lectio, and even the kids love it, and I think it helps them to switch off as well and fall asleep, but also to switch off knowing that they're under God's peace and under, you know, it's sort of about breathing in God's peace and relinquishing the sort of stresses of the day and also repenting for, you know, where we've got things wrong. It's just a beautiful thing, but. And I love it and always helps me to sleep. But actually, I've been amazed that the kids are like, can we just listen to lectio in the evenings? It's just a really beautiful thing. And that's been helpful. Okay. I mean, it's very chilled, isn't it? Well, thank you so much for coming to talk to me about prayer. I'm very grateful for your time. And I'm really, really grateful that you've been able to chat to us and give us some of your wisdom on prayer, especially prayer in city life and... Oh yeah, it's really great. So really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's helpful to reflect.
Yeah, good. Okay. Thank you guys.
Oh, thank you. I'll just put my arm cut out all the